This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. Now, this is brought to you by Anything Is Possible, AIP.media. And we're coming to you on the eve of the Manchester United game. Manchester United are coming to New Griffin Park for the first time since 1975 or 70, the 70s, a very long time, actually. So a lot of excitement. Most people, the first time in most people's lifetime. So very much looking forward to it. So we're going to talk about that match, which is up and coming. But also we're going to look back to the game at Anfield at the weekend, which was on a Sunday, which as a result of that, that's pushed this podcast back a little bit later. But, you know, that's how it goes. So we're going to talk about the Liverpool game as well. I'm sitting here in the virtual joint with my man, Laney. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Bill. Yeah, I'm good. I'm quite potty for tonight, actually. Yeah, you say you've got Manchester United on the back of a trip to Liverpool, it's a pinch yourself moment. I think, you know, because we lost a couple, it becomes a little bit kind of not less enjoyable, but you kind of lose track a little bit. So I don't think Man United have been to our place since the 30s, mate. I think we played them up at Old Trafford once, it might have been the 70s, but before my time. But a monumental night, and hopefully we can make the most
Fingers
of it.
Fingers crossed we will make the most of it. But look, we're going to go back, we're going to hark back to the weekend. We went to Anfield. Some of us went up for the day, some of us went up there for the weekend, but we had a very good time, bar the 90 minutes actually in the stadium. And we're going to talk about the Liverpool game straight after this little break. So, Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. I'm going to ask you straight up, Laney, was that a fair result?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it was pretty much as 100% as you're going to get, I think. I said it on the pod afterwards, we didn't do ourselves any justice at all, I don't think. You know, losing 2-0, probably no real shame. We didn't come up to this division, or most people with a brain didn't come up to this division thinking we were going to win every match. And there was going to be matches where we were kind of outclassed. Some by clubs and teams that literally played us off the pitch on the day because they had better players and they played better and they sussed us out. Others when we're below par and we didn't rise to the occasion. And I think this one's the latter, really. I just thought we were flat. I don't think we were adventurous. And I think we just got what we deserved, and that pains me to say it. And I think, you know, with a different attitude and you know, with potent strikers, we just didn't ask any questions of Liverpool, and I think, you know, that's as I wouldn't say rolled over, because, you know, there's a few players that really did try. I mean, they all tried, but a win was never on the cards, and, you know, it was an easy 3 points for Liverpool, mate.
And give us a fairness factor, as you do.
100
is the fairness factor. I'm actually going to go down a little bit. I'm going to go down to about 90, 90, 95. 95, 96 actually. 96, I think, if anything, maybe it could have been 4-0 to Liverpool, and they're a little bit gutted that they didn't score a few more, actually. I mean, looking at the XG, and again, this is very early on in the show, as we do, you know, we talk about stats. We don't have Will, the spreadsheet winker, on the show today because we're just doing a short little review. But Liverpool 3.59 to Brentford's 0.33. We didn't create very many big chances at all, to be quite honest with you. You know, Brian Mbeumo in the 58th minute, there's a 10% chance there. You know, Ivan Toney in the 71st minute, 7% chance. There's maybe one other as well, you know, after that. For the Brentford creator, Ivan Toney in extra time as well, sort of kind of around about 6%. But other than that, Liverpool literally created, you know, 50-50 chances inside the box, like, you know, at least sort of kind of 3, 4, 5, 6, plus loads of sort of kind of 40 and 30 and 20%. Chances. And looking at In For Goal, they've given it 97% pretty much. So that was a pretty fair result in their books. So that just gives you an idea of what we were under. There is an argument to say that we kind of defended really well. We kind of did our job there really well as well. But at the end of the day, as Laslaney says, we didn't really create much to actually kind of get ourselves out of that game. And once they went in front, which they did sort of very late on in the first half, and they were getting a little bit of stick from their fans for not being able to sort of kind of break us down. But after that, it was kind of one-way traffic. I mean, I know you talked about that game and us not doing it. I mean, takeaways from that game, Laney?
Takeaways from that game is, if you don't rise to those occasions, if you just give the, you know, those big clubs respect, it's not good enough to get any points out of. That's bread and butter for them. You know, they play teams that go there, and we didn't look overawed, but we just never got into second or third gear. And you've got to be able to do that. You have to go there and go toe to toe with them, and you have to scare them. You know, they play European, plucky European minnows, which, you know, we're plucky Premiership minnows, and they steamroller these teams easily, because the quality is there. They've built up huge squads, and if we're going to compete with that, we have to replicate what we did at the early part of the season, and, you know, more of a handful of times since. You go there and you kind of like look around and you kind of let them play their stuff. It's all over, and as you said, it could have been 4 or 5, really. You know, Alvaro pulled off a couple of good saves, and then there's a couple of calamity mistakes by us as well, but averages out as I said, just a functional win for Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, my main takeaways is that we need to strengthen. You know, I still think, and I've said this before on very many podcasts, that I don't think we're going to go down, and that's not being arrogant. It's just, I think, the position that we're in, and we seem to be able to sort of kind of grind wins out if we need to, against the right type of teams, or grind results out. But still, I just think, you know, for our safety and also for our future, because if we can get players, and we can get the players now, we should get them now rather than waiting till the summer to see whether or not we can get them. And I know that we definitely have got irons in the fire. We've talked about this many times. We've got right back, right wing back. We've got left back as well. We've got a couple of left backs actually that we're looking at as well, you know, from two different continents now as well, which could be quite interesting actually. You know, one on one side of the water, one on the very on the other side as well. And then obviously we're looking at a winger as well. As we know, we're still waiting for that to come through personally, and people asking, you know, why aren't deals done? As you said, you know, our directors of football believe that, you know, the window should be only a week, because when it's a month, you get a lot of procrastination, and that's what happens. They procrastinate a lot. They try and see if they can get better deals. They could see if they could just mess you around. So there's gonna be a waiting game, and normally it's the last 2 or 3 days of the window when things happen. But obviously the big transfer news that has been going around as well, Christian Eriksen, which all the newspapers are talking about, because like I said to you, I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We knew that a deal had gone in for Christian Eriksen, but it's not about the deal going in. It's about the deal being accepted. So you sit around and you wait what happens. And that's exactly what's coming. That news has now come out that that deal has gone in from Brentford. We're sitting and waiting what's happening, you know, and to see what's going to come back. We know that Christian Eriksen wants to get game time. He wants to play in Qatar. So he's going to be looking at the team that's going to give him that best option. Brentford have obviously said, you come to us. He's been released by Inter as well now, so he's a free agent. So he's going to go to the best deal. And it's not going to necessarily be the person that pays him the highest, but I think it's going to be the team that gives him the best opportunity. So there's a lot of interested people and a lot of excited people about this, Laney. Now, what I think is interesting, because obviously Eriksen is straight swap for Jensen. And there's some people that argue that he's good Jensen, the good Jensen that we always want. And as the Allard points out as well, he is a player that doesn't tackle like Jensen is. So is it just a case of upgrading a Jensen for a player that doesn't necessarily get stuck in on the tackling front? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a hugely exciting bit of rumour. There's obviously legs in it. You know, we said immediately, you know, we kind of sniffed something was happening. And we've been talking about it on Twitter and we've been talking about it on the podcast a few times. Now, for me, the deal only works if it works for Brentford. We know that the player, you know, we know what he went through, we know what we witnessed during the Euros. It was horrendous. And, you know, I want to hope that if it's possible for his dream, you know, his football career to continue, that it's medically possible. I don't really think Brentford need to be getting themselves into some sort of experiment with him where we feel we have to play him and we upset players that are contracted to us already. Now, you know, let's not beat about the bush. Christian Eriksen is a, you know, was a world-class player who has impressed us for years in the Premier League. He's proven that he's Premier League quality. Now, I don't think we can have players come in and be guaranteed starts. And I think that's the sticking point for me, is that we have to mix and match sometimes, and depending who we're playing. And if for whatever reason his form isn't as we hoped or as he hoped, then we can't be having to play him. And you know, for all his faults, Jensen is a Brentford player, and he played a big part in getting us promoted. And I think on his day, he's very, very worth his place. He's probably one of the, you know, top 50 Brentford players of all time. You know, that might sound odd, but you know, so few have competed at this level and achieved promotion to the top flight with us. So I'll take him all day long, as long as it's a hassle free one and we get him on top of his game. And now, you know, it's going to be a risk, and I think Brentford are shrewd enough to make that risk work. If it's going to happen, I don't think we go into this with like eyes shut. I think we cover our arses and we make sure that it works for us as much as it could work for him. So, yeah, the short answer is, yeah, of course, it will be a very positive move for us, but only if it does work for us.
I don't think Brentford are the type of team that will actually play a player if you are told that you have to play him every single game. That's not really our style. I remember earlier on in our sort of kind of career, our rising career, when we were signing loan players, and I think the player was George Saville. We signed George Saville from Chelsea, and they tried to put a clause in there to say, like, you know, you have to play him every day, every game. And I think what we did is that we said, no, we're not going to play him every game, but we flipped it a little bit. So what we said is that what we'll do is that if we don't play him, we'll pay you a bit more money. You know what I'm saying? So kind of we had the incentive to play him if, you know, it will financially hit us if we didn't play him. But at the end of the day, we weren't forced to pay him, and we actually had to end up paying Chelsea a bit more money. So it kind of worked for us in that respect, in the fact that we weren't forced to. So I think that Brentford would, you know, definitely are not the type of team that would do that, because it obviously doesn't work for us then. But the flip side I will say to it as well is that, you know, and a lot of people are talking about this, Eriksen and his experience could be kind of, you know, very important in and around the changing room. You know, we've got a few sort of, you know, I mean, Sergio Canos is probably our most experienced player in the side, you know. So we had Henrik Dalsgaard in there before. So to actually get someone in and around the changing room who is sort of quite very experienced, also knows Thomas Frank. I think Thomas Frank used to coach him, I think, back in the Danish, what was it, under-19s or something like that. But, you know, yeah, Danish youth team. So he, you know, he knows him very well from then, back in the day. Obviously, he knows Norgaard, he knows Jensen. You know, he knows a lot of players. You know, it would be a good place for him to come. We're talking, not as if he is coming, but we're talking about the pros and the cons of a player like Eriksen coming to Brentford. So, yeah, there are a lot of pros. And obviously, it's a short-term contract, a six-month contract if it does happen. So you're talking about getting us over the line to stay in the Premier League, which is our objective, you know. Interestingly, obviously, there's a financial thing there, because obviously if you stay in the Premier League, we get another 100 odd million pounds, which is very important to us. Like, you know, so does that mean that Christian Eriksen, you know, will get paid over and above all the colleagues in the team? The answer is, I can't answer that because we don't know. The answer is probably yes, but because it's a short-term contract for 6 months, you know, that would kind of be overlooked, I suppose, by Brentford as a short-term option to try and get us over the line.
I look at it like this, Bill, as the old auto analogy. You know, if you're looking in the market to get a new car, and you've got BMW 5 Series that's been offered to you, and then all of a sudden someone comes in and says, "Oh, but I've got a Ferrari that with a slightly dodgy clutch, but it's all right." So you can either have the BMW sat on your drive or your Ferrari sat on your drive for 6 months. Which one do you go for? It's as long as the clutch isn't going to give up, I think you'll have the Ferrari sat on your front garden, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. So listen, I mean, this is future talk that we're talking about. Obviously, we're in the transfer window. We'll be hearing more news very soon. We've got about 15 odd days, a couple of weeks till the transfer window shuts. So this is going to be going on and on, I think. Just coming back to the Liverpool match, actually, you know, for Brentford, you know, I know you're going to ask a question. Who played well for the Bees?
For me, Brian Mbeumo. I thought, again, I think he comes out of that with a lot of credit. He didn't stop running. Shame he had to come off, but, you know, the game's lost at that stage and, you know, you want him for tonight. Hopefully there was no other reason for doing that. I don't think a lot of other players come out of it. I mean, I think Rico played well to start with. He came off, again, maybe precautionary. Alvarez made a couple of good saves, but he cost us, again, I think, just his, you know, I don't want to get involved into another Alvarez conversation, I don't think. Alvaro conversation, rather. A few others, mate. You know, Ivan Toney, he looked frustrated and way, way below. So, yeah, I think Brian Mbeumo is the only one, really, that I'd say had a standout game.
Christian Norgaard, for me, and it saves some of that saying it week in and week out, but I just think that he is a player that just kind of still seems to hold it together, and I thought that he had in the circumstances, a reasonable game as well. I do like Christian Norgaard, and I can't wait to see him in a situation. You know, like I said to you, look, we're fingering the dam at the moment now, and I really do believe within, you know, maybe in a month's time, probably by the time we play Crystal Palace, probably by the time we play Newcastle, that we're going to be a sort of a new look Brentford team. So I can't wait to see kind of like how he operates in that environment, when, fingers crossed, we'll have a few new players, which is going to give us a new dynamic. I'm just going to say, looking at Liverpool, okay, let's just talk about Liverpool, okay? So, okay, we're going to talk about Liverpool, the city, fantastic city, great laugh. Everybody that I know really enjoyed themselves. Went up for the day, some went up for the weekend. I went up on a Friday evening with my daughter and her mate, the two Bellas as well, stayed with my mate Fireman Ben, you know, and I took up another kid up as well, Io, with me, who's actually a Liverpool fan. It was his first time in Liverpool and in the Cup. He's only 11 years old. He was so excited. I had a great laugh. I had a babysitter as well, which was able to leave the kids. So I had a brilliant night on the Saturday night. Met up with the Spirit of Shankly crew, like, you know, as well. And tell you something, I had a great kick football out of football session. A lot of the Bees fans were out there on the Saturday night as well. They had a good time. I think Darren had a good time. I think too good a time, because this hotel room was slightly dishevelled, shall we say, on a Sunday morning. But that for me was great. And going to the game, there was this aura around Liverpool. I mean, I got there at 11 o'clock in the morning. Right. And I thought, God, I'm going to get there really early. And I've got there, and I'm not being funny. I thought, God, blimey, I'm late. You know, the place is full of people. And it had the horror of their club shop was bigger than our stadium almost. It was amazing. Like, you know, so I kind of did all that, you know, the Liverpool thing, the murals on the wall. We went to Taggy's Bar beforehand, which was great. Met with the old Anfield Rap as well, Neil and John from the Anfield Rap, you know, which is, again, proper great guys, and, you know, and all that lot. So everything about the match was great. I thought the build up to it, it was when we walked into the stadium, which I was a little bit disappointed, I have to say. The stadium reminded me of going into the New Road. I mean, the congestion in the New Road, it was very much like that, trying to get to your seating area. We had the safe standing as well. We were in the corner. And then the atmosphere, you know, they did the You Never Walk Alone. But then after that, it was flat. And to be fair, my Spirit of Shankly said, it's going to be really quiet today. I'm warning you, we're going to be really quiet. And they said to me afterwards, we told you. And I have to admit, I was quite stunned. How about you, Laney?
Yeah, I agree. It was really flat inside there from the Liverpool fans. You know, the You Never Walk Alone looked kind of impressive with all the scarves. Didn't really hear it. It was just flat, and as you said, it was really cramped inside the our part of the away end as well, which really, really surprised me. And it just seemed to be a bit of a design flaw. I mean, obviously it meets all safety regs because of obviously Liverpool's history, etc. But it was just a bit weird. We were warned, weren't we? Before the game, they sort of said, "Oh, I'm sure you'll get a 'Where's your famous atmosphere' moment." And I think maybe there's a reputation growing that Anfield, there's a lot of tourists there, and it's a fact. And it's a shame because it's quite an impressive stadium as you walk up to it. Yeah. Just didn't match it inside, mate.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like there's a balance up. I mean, clubs look at their bank balances and they think, great, this is what we're in for. We're a business and we want to make lots of money, so as long as we get bums on seats, that is what's all good. It's interesting though, because and a lot of fans, a lot of new fans saying, you know, you guys, you don't like new fans. It's nothing to do that at all. We love new fans coming to the games. But what we did is, that's a bit of a laugh. Remember when we said, look, when we get the new stadium, we know we're going to be restricted. So if we're restricted, we want to make sure that everybody, you know, seats are going to be, you know, they're going to be, you know, prime, you know, to get a seat, to get a place at the new stadium. So we want to make sure that everyone that comes in the stadium gets involved and gets those all the songs and make sure that the atmosphere is right. Because if not, it's going to be like a lot of the places that we've been to, like your Leicester's a lot of the time, or your Wiggins, or your Bolton's, where the atmosphere is really terrible. Like, you know, and, you know, even Fulham. A lot of the time, you know, Fulham have got their reserved kind of neutral spot where they basically pull tourists off the plane to go to the game. And I think there's a danger between clubs sort of pulling people in to be, you know, commercially successful, as opposed to kind of building your fan base with, you know, fans who, you know, are there through thick and thin, who really believe the team. And this is not a disrespect on people new coming in, because we love you and you wanted to come there. But it's almost like, you know, we had a bit of a laugh when we said, you know, if you're going to come to Brentford, they should sort of kind of sign this sheet and have a look at this sheet to sort of say all the things that you need to do. You need to sing, you need to kind of, you know, and it was a bit facetious when we were saying it, but you could see what happens now at Liverpool, where you see that there's like no singing and, you know, people sort of don't really kind of know what to do, and they're sort of kind of just, you know, okay, listen, everyone's allowed to enjoy football in their own way, but it does detract from, you know, the experience, really, doesn't it?
Well, it's we always wonder, what is the point of half and half scarves? And that was the definition. They were invented for Liverpool's tourists, for people that go to the game and they buy a half and half scarf, and then they walk in and they do You Never Walk Alone, and then they don't go again ever. And that's not to slag off, you know, tens and hundreds of millions of like real hardcore Liverpool fans, but the match day experience, it does smack of half and halfness. And I guess you get that, but we got a massive game tonight to blow that out of our system. We have to move on from two back-to-back defeats. We've done ourselves absolutely bugger all justice in the Southampton game or the Liverpool game, and tonight we have Manchester United, arguably the biggest club in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo and, you know, one or two other world-class players that they still have, and their recent form is pretty shaky. I've watched quite a bit of Man United the last few weeks, and they're there to be got at, Bill. So it's like wipe the slate clean again and move on, because we have to get a couple more points on the board from two home games tonight and on Saturday. And we can get 3 points, great. If we can get 4 points, great. If we can get 6 points, happy days, mate.
Happy days. Just quickly, just coming back to the Liverpool game, we talked about the stadium and the atmosphere. The Liverpool team, though, you know, there are some big names out there. Okay, there's a couple of names that are missing, like Salah and Mane, but there's still some big names out there. You know, were you impressed with what you saw out there, Laney? And especially thinking we're playing against this lot. I mean, we are on the same playing field, you know, even to a certain extent against them. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was reasonably impressed. You know, you've got, you know, Virgil van Dijk. Did he put a foot wrong? Yeah, did he break sweat? That's the question. You know, if you go to Anfield and expect anything, you have to make players like Virgil van Dijk break sweat. I'm not sure he did. You know, Joel Matip, I thought he played good. Trent Alexander-Arnold he got a lot of the ball, didn't he? He got a goal. Jordan Henderson was everywhere. Firmino, Diego Jota, did I see much of him? Don't think I did. They did what they had to, but I think Van Dijk was head and shoulders literally above everyone.
I mean, I thought Robertson was good down the left-hand side. Again, he's one that was always popping up and causing problems as well. And obviously Fabinho as well. He got a goal as well. I mean, he's just, you know, again, it's quite annoying, really. You know, but again, it's quite amazing. A lot of people sort of saying seeing Brentford playing against Manchester United for them was just was amazing. And yes, we didn't do what we had to do, but a lot of people left that game. They weren't disappointed. They were disappointed slightly by what we did, but they weren't disappointed because at the end of the day, we weren't expecting anything from that game. And I think, as opposed to, say, for example, the Chelsea game, where we didn't expect anything and then we came away thinking, God, we could have got a point or even 3 points from that. That wasn't the thing here. So, but we were proud the fact that we were able to go on the pitch against them, do something, and then come home, and then we're going to play Man United. But anyway, listen, talking about that, I mean, JB, he's got some facts and some funk about that game at Anfield and us playing Liverpool. Let's go over to JB and let's listen to his facts and his funk.
Are you ready for this? I told you it was coming.
Who?
JB. And he's ready to stock it to you one time. Get it.
Hello, Jonathan Birchall here again. The trip to Anfield saw us continue with an unwanted scoreline sequence. In 13 of our last 14 league games, we've let the opposition score first, Everton being the exception. But this is also something we were doing in the latter part of last season, when we did likewise in 16 of our last 34 league and playoff games. Whereas in the Championship we were able to get back in the game for a win or draw in 12 of those 16, in the Premier League we've only managed that 4 times in the 13. Sunday saw us fail to win a corner during the game. It's over a year since that happened, away at Watford in December 2020. This season we averaged 3.7 corners a game, compared to 4.6 last season. Since we started playing in the Football League back in 1920, to date we've only had 51 goalkeepers who have played in excess of 10 league games. Of those, there have only been 5 who on average conceded 1 goal or less per game. Krzyzewski, Dave McKellar, Ben Hamer and Steve Sherwood were all hard to replace. But to take the place of the best in our history would always be a tough ask. Conceding only 83 goals in 97 games, the best is, of course, David Raya.
There you go, JB, Liverpool facts and funk. And yes, we're not great at getting back into the game, as he said to you as well. And I didn't actually notice there were no corners in that match. I just didn't even occur to me. And we do like a corner or two, you know, sort of heading it straight to the opposition, but it didn't really happen there. Looking forward, what we're going to do is that obviously we've got a big game. On Wednesday night against Manchester United, we are going to take a little break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk Manchester United. So Man United coming to New Griffin Park. a bit weird sort of saying that, you know. Ronaldo's going to be kind of in our dressing rooms. I still say this as well. I would have loved Ronaldo to have gone to Old Griffin Park because he would have been so confused, like, you know. But it hasn't happened. They're coming to New Griffin Park today and it's a clean slate, as they say. I still always have the belief that Brentford will go for it because we've seen what they can do and they always seem to raise their game for a particular type of teams. Didn't quite happen at Liverpool on Sunday, but you know, Man United, it's a different beast, as they say. And as you said a little bit earlier, Lainey, they're not particularly on great form. Yeah, they've got a few results under their belt as of recently. They've got a change of manager, but you know, they're a team that is got a ball. What are you going to do, actually? We're going to go over to Andy Mitten from United We Stand, and we spoke to Andy actually last month about Man United. What we're going to do is we're going to listen to what he had to say about Manchester United.
Hello Brentford, hello Besotted, I'm Andy Mitten and I edit the Manchester United fanzine United We Stand. I've done that since 1989 and I first visited Griffin Park about 10 years later to see a game which was nothing to do with Manchester United. And I started this season at St George's Park with Real Betis, the Spanish team, and also staying in the hotel at St George's Park with Brentford, and that was following a pre-season friendly at Old Trafford. So we're looking forward to the first ever game at your new ground. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but after Man United played at Watford a couple of years ago, I stayed near Brentford and I walked past the new ground on the way back to my hotel. And being a bit of a football ground geek, I went to take some pictures and got asked by security what I was doing and told to clear off. So I've been to your ground, just not seen a game there yet. So Manchester United now, well, quite low profile club, aren't they? You probably know what's, don't know what's been going on, but there has been some news stories and, well, several changes of manager. How's the season been so far? I think if you're asking me now, it's been disappointing. Look at the league table. This was the season when Manchester United was supposed to properly challenge for the title, something that the team have not done since 2013 with that last title win, the 20th title win under Sir Alex Ferguson. United finished second a couple of times, but even then under Jose Mourinho and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer last season, we're never in a proper title race. Ole was sacked, Michael Carrick took over for three games, did very well, and then he decided to call it a day too, and Ralf Rangnick has taken over. Ole was a big Man United hero, you say. How hard was it to see him go? Yeah, he was a hero, but it's in football management and it's about results. He was a good guy. I knew him from when he first came to the club in 1996. He was a good person to deal with, obviously made his mark as a player, but management is different. I was sad because I think he was making progress up until that last couple of months when results nosedive. He was doing all right. Second place last season was not a position Manchester United fans thought the team would finish last season. And then getting to that Europa League final. Now, losing that on penalties was a big blow. And I interviewed him immediately after that. And I could see he was floored, just looked in his eyes. That was in Gdansk in May. And then this season started with three new big signings. Cristiano Ronaldo, you might have heard of him. He's from Portugal and he plays football for a living. Rafael Varane from Real Madrid and Jadon Sancho in a transfer which went under the radar. He came from Borussia Dortmund, you may have read about it a little bit. When they came in, people thought United will get a bit even better, we'll properly challenge. So when that didn't happen, the disgruntlement grew and grew. Now, with Man United's fan base, it's a global one. So you've got very interesting differences in the demographic. And what you'll often find is the mood inside the stadium is very different to what it's like online. And online, people are never happy. Winning 5-0, they're like, why is it not 6-0? And it's really weird for us to see that. There's nothing we can do about that. But towards the end of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I felt the fans inside the ground were slipping. I said after a game against Everton on the 2nd of October, Ollie's losing the moderates now. He's starting to lose proper support. And that was after a draw at Old Trafford. Defeats followed. Heavy defeat at home to Liverpool. Outclassed at home to Manchester City. So they're your two biggest rivals. And then that hammering at Watford as well. So, been really, really disappointing. and I've kept in touch with him since he's left. I think he appreciates the fans are still singing his name for every single game.
Ralf Rangnick has got an excellent reputation, and when he signed, he was seen as a standout candidate. Him and Rudy Garcia were the last two for the position of interim manager. And then you had people like Jurgen Klopp and Thomas Tuchel being real advocates of Ralf Rangnick. With Manchester United fans, a lot of them didn't know a lot about him, and it was always going to be about the football and the results that they played. And it's been pretty underwhelming so far. Rangnick has tried different formations. The results have been pretty unconvincing. The performances, just some of them have left United fans pretty worried. So he speaks really well when he does stuff with the media, and I've spoke to him and asked him a lot of questions. But he's got a really tough job set against the fact that most of the players know he's likely to be leaving in just a few months' time. So it's a tough one. And United fans are predisposed to like him and support him. They loved Ollie, but they knew at the end that the results were just not good enough under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And there's very little support for him keeping his job towards the end. So that's how it is with Ralf Rangnick. With Ronaldo, I was excited when he came back. I still think he's got it. I watched him closely in Spain. I watched him in Italy. His statistics were still incredible. I know the club were especially excited from the commercial perspective, and you hear some of the figures and it's just so off the scale. You've got this whole new demographic of people who are Cristiano Ronaldo fans. So I was walking up to the ground in Bergamo for the Atalanta-Manchester United game a month back, and I met two people from Milan in their early 20s, male, female, and they described themselves as Cristiano Ronaldo fans. I'm like, what? What? Yeah, we love Ronaldo. But you're from Milan, you're from a brilliant football city. Yeah, we're Inter as well, but we're Ronaldo fans first and foremost. I'm like, this is just so weird to me. But the world is changing. And if they want to buy a ticket to see Cristiano Ronaldo, and he played really well in that game, then who am I to say whether that's right or wrong? He's been scoring. He gets the key goals. He makes the assists. There's times where he does very little in a match. So there's no real case for dropping him. And with his, he's 36, but he's a freakish 36. He still jumps higher than any footballer I've ever seen. And he's holding his place. There are other players I'm more concerned about rather than Cristiano Ronaldo. So with the Brentford game pre-season, I thought it was a great game. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't thinking, oh, here's little Brentford. I was thinking, this is a club who've really done well on and off the pitch. And I mean, I'm talking to people here who know far more about it than I do. But for me, Brentford for years were a team who got 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. You could pass the ground when you're on your way back out of London. I went to Griffin Park, as I said, I liked it, I respected the club. And then you saw the rise and the well-documented reasons for that rise. And I like the ground, I like that it's not been built miles out. I like it that it seems to be very central, that they've made a lot of use of what seems to be a small space to me. I'm already thinking, can it be expanded? And I don't know the answer to that. We've got another Premier League team now in London, but I think Brentford has been really, really refreshing. And I think a lot of people are predisposed to have a lot of goodwill towards Brentford this season. Your first season back up. And this isn't plucky little Brentford. This is a team that's done things and a club that's done things in a really professional way and come up out of the Championship against much bigger clubs without having the advantage of the parachute payments. So well done all round. I know that there's injuries at the moment. I obviously want Manchester United to win on Tuesday night. I feel that Brentford will be better than Norwich on Saturday, and Norwich held Manchester United for long times in the game. I'll be disappointed if Manchester United do not win at Brentford. I just will be. I think if you're Manchester United, you've got to be getting a result against a mid-table team. And I'd say the same at Old Trafford, but that's not to detract from my respect that
have for you and for the Brentford fans who followed the team for years. But it's been brilliant just to rise and come up and see your team playing in the Premier League. And I'm interested in questions like, were there any growing pains? Are you looking at the person next to you thinking, where were you 2 years ago? I don't know the answer to that, but that sort of thing intrigues me. You're selling out every week, your average crowds are going up. It seems that there was a big consultation with the fans as the stadium was being built, so I like that, but this is an area you know far about, more about than I do. As for the game against Brentford, I think Manchester United need to play well and win, but I've been saying that for months and it's not been happening away from home. At Villa at the weekend, United played well for 70 minutes with 2-0 up and drew 2-2. With Brentford, I know results have not been going well for you, but as Ragnick pointed out, we've had some excellent results at home. For the United fans who are travelling, they're really looking forward to going to a new ground. And it's a big game for Ragnick. You know, if United lose, the mood will completely sink. And Manchester United really should be looking to at least finish in the top four. And at the moment, the team are in seventh and really unconvincing. So a win would absolutely lift the mood. And you're probably saying the same thing at your end as well. Prediction for the game? Oof, really hard that, because we're not that good. We're not that good at all. So I'm going to go for the B's. 1. Manchester United. 2. Be nice talking to you. What I'd say about Besotted is it's my first time speaking to you, but it's a fanzine name I've known for years and years and years, and I think that's fantastic. That's the reason I've done this, because you can imagine with Man United, there's no shortage of podcasts, and I could actually spend my life doing podcasts for free. Unfortunately, I can't go to the bank manager and say I can't pay the mortgage this month, but I have been on loads of podcasts. So I do respect the old school fanzines, and Besotted was definitely one of them. So I doff my hat, doff my cap to the old school Brentford fans, and looking forward to the game and then back at Old Trafford, and hope to see you in West London soon. All the best.
That was Andy Mitten from United We Stand. And yeah, like I said, he spoke to us last month, but he's given us a little update there as well as to a few thoughts on Manchester United. And Manchester United, good at counter-attacking, good at creating long shot opportunities, and good at creating chances through balls. So that's where Manchester United are, but we're weak at defending attacks down the wings, defending long shots, stopping opponents from creating chances, avoiding fouls in dangerous areas, defending counter-attacks, avoiding individual errors, and very weak at avoiding offside. They like short passes, attempt through balls often, attacking down the left, they rotate their first 11 and they're aggressive. So looking at that, you know, again, you know, we've got work cut out, but, you know, plenty of opportunity there, isn't it, Laney?
Yeah, there's bags of opportunity. You know, the last game out, I mean, since this Ranieri's come in, there's been no bounce at all. They've got rid of Solskjaer because, you know, the performances and the results were flat. It hasn't improved at all. The players look like they're sulking a lot of the time. They're moody. There's no real happiness there. And I think if it's one or two players that we can get at, and I think we can ruffle them. I'm not saying we go full shithouse mode, because I think we've got the ability to trouble them anyway. But you know, Bruno Fernandes he's got a booking written all over him. Cavano's got booking written all over him. We know that if Cristiano Ronaldo plays, we know that he's a stroppy one as well. They've got a lot of, like I call, posy players that they're happy when it all goes their way. I mean, they're world class, don't get me wrong, but they're probably going to be relying on Scott McTominay. He's the one that worries me, to be honest. Out of all that talent that they've got, Scott McTominay in recent weeks has been great for them. You know, we cannot give him any chances to shoot anywhere on the edge of the box, outside the area. He's in incredible form. He was suspended for the Villa game, But the Villa game showed me, because I think Villa and Brentford have got a lot in common in the way we play, in the spirit we play. And Villa, in the last 10-15 minutes, they did exactly what we did to them, on, you know, just into the new year when we turned the Danny Ings goal around and when we got the winner, we got the Roslev winner. It showed that there's the blueprint to get at Man United. Press them hard, get the ball wide, attack, and they do, they crack. You know, I'm not sure what their defence is going to be tonight, but you know they've got you know Maguire, Victor Lindelof, they've got Phil Jones back in the camp. You know they're not. This is a Man United defence that is there to be got at. Yes, of course they've got players at the other end. You know, Lingard that might feature tonight. They've got players that can come at you with pace. But if we're really solid, and we can get Mbeumo, and we can get Tony looking like the Ivan Tony that we know and love. You know, there's big opportunities tonight. We have to literally blitz them in phases. Right.
I mean, and, coming to your there's back a point as well, lady. I mean, looking at the league table, I mean, Manchester United are seventh. You know, and again, looking at XG, we use XG, like I said to you, because it's got to us where we are, okay? And it's a really good indicator as to kind of like, you know, how teams are doing, you know, not necessarily the number of chances, but like I said, the quality of chances. Manchester United, you know, seventh place, 32 points from 20 games, okay? And the XG 4 is 31.1. The XG against is 33, you know? Now, looking at Brentford, we are in 14th place, 23 points from 21 games, okay. So, but our XG 4 actually is 26.8. So we're slightly creating not quite as many chances as Manchester United, okay. So they're better up front, as in chance creation. But interestingly, like you said, defensively we're 30.9 and Manchester United are 33. So actually we are better, and we think that we're quite terrible at the moment now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Defensively, you know, we're a lot worse than we were before. So again, and I also have this belief that we can get back to where we were. You know, does Aya need a few more games to actually get his fitness back, you know, and things like that. So again, it's a case of getting our defensive tightness back and hitting them on the break as it is. So again, as you say, I believe that there are opportunities. You believe there are opportunities, but we need to actually start playing like Brentford did earlier on in the season. I mean, like I said, excited, you know, Man United fans are coming down again. You know, I've heard a few coaches, United withstand, are bringing a coach down. Hopefully they might even see them down at the Globe a little bit later on this afternoon as well. So that's going to be exciting, actually, kind of having the away fans in the corner make a little bit of noise. Manchester United fans actually gracing our stadium, isn't it, Laney?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. You know, it's the magnitude of the club is just off the scale tonight, and I'm not going to get overawed. I'm not going to get all half and half in myself about it. But you have to kind of give credit where credit's due and realise that, you know, this is an exceptional club that are coming to Brentford tonight, and I'm very proud that I'm going to be there to watch it. Again, you know, we talked about this earlier in the season. I never thought I'd be witnessing this in my lifetime. And I am, and I'm very grateful, and I will enjoy every moment of it as much as I can tonight. And yeah, but it's going to be interesting seeing their fans. I did a couple of books last year on Man United. One on the big Man United book of the 70s, which you know, Brentford fans that bought the big Brentford book of the 70s will know the format of. And it was just incredible going through that, and you know, putting in photographs of Best and Charlton and Macari and McElroy and Greenough and Koppel and, you know, Jordan and McQueen. It was just like, as I was growing up, all these players were just kind of, and the club were just off the scale compared to my Brentford. And my Brentford are playing them tonight, and arguably the Man United team that have come turning out tonight are better than all of those ones that were in the 70s. So it's a big night, mate. It really is.
I'm going to ask you, you said about Scott McTom, okay, and listen, danger man as well, but I mean, obviously everyone's going to be talking about Ronaldo, top scorer with 8 goals, okay, Fernandez got 7, but Ronaldo got 8 goals, how worried are you about him?
Very, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, you know, for all the things he isn't anymore, he's still a million things he is. You know, he's still, you know, we've seen some of the goals that he scored since he came back to the Prem, you know, last year. He's still a world class player. He may not be working out, you know, at the club at the moment, but what they've got there is you know, one of the, well, arguably the best player that's ever played the game. So that's what we get tonight. Yeah, well, you'll get some grief from the crowd probably if he plays. You'll get some stick, and you know, I'm sure there'll be some songs, and you know, I'm not sure he'll get the respect he deserves necessarily, and you know, that's football. But yeah, it'll be incredible to be watching him with our own eyes, won't it?
Definitely, definitely. So, Laney, I'm going to ask you, Manchester United coming to New Griffin Park against the mighty, mighty Bees, score prediction.
I'm going 2-1 Brentford, mate.
Oh.
And I actually, that isn't heart over head, actually. That's head and head tonight. Victory for Brentford.
I'm going to go 2-0 to the mighty Bees. Mighty Bees as well. We're feeling confident.
Even more impressive. That's wow. Right.
Yeah, we need a result, you know. And I think, you know, under the lights, with the crowd singing tonight, I think this is going to be our night, Laney, as we say. So anyway, this is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast, brought to you by Anything Is Possible, AIP.media. Please subscribe to us on all good podcast channels and write a review on iTunes if you like what you do. We like what you do, well, what we do as well. Also, don't forget to go to besotted.com/beer if you like what we do and buy us a beer. We thank you, everybody that's bought us beers, and there's loads of characters out there that have bought us beers that we're going to give you shout-outs for when the schedule gets a little bit more chilled, because it's still been a bit
mad.
Let's have a catch-up
next week with all the beer purchasing. That gives everyone an opportunity to get their beers bought in now to get mentioned next week.
yeah, that's right, because like I said, you've been sort of kind of Saturday, Wednesday again this month still, you know, so we've got a chill out coming as well, so we will definitely have some words with you characters and have some laughs as well. Other than that, like I said to you, we've got another podcast coming fairly soon. We've got a Wolves game, so check that out probably the next day or two, as we've got Wolves as well. We're going to have a Wolves fan on there giving us the lowdown on Wolverhampton Wanderers. Then after that, we have an international. We've got a mid-season break. It's got a winter break.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, which is the time that we can chill, the time that we can go away, the time that we can just do different things. So looking forward to getting to that break with Brentford solidified in a good position with some players under the belt. My name is Billy Grant, and I've very much enjoyed talking to you, and I've got Laney in the house.
Yeah, enjoy the game tonight, boys and girls. Sing your hearts out for the lads.
Sing your hearts out for the lads, as we say. Come on.
Come on, you Bees. Come on, you Bees.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.